The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, beginning with verse 8. The Lord is here addressing the children of Israel. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. So what's the best meal in your life that you have ever eaten? Or what is the best feast that you have ever attended? For me, when I think of that, it was at a hotel on the bottom tip of the Dead Sea over in the Holy Land. And it was on a tour of the Holy Land, and one of the nights they took us there for dinner. It was unbelievably impressive, all the food that they had. And it was all so good and well done, and they had chefs at all these different stations preparing it. It was just the greatest feast I've ever attended. That's an easy one for me. I remember there was a pastor with me at this meal, and he was from an Indian reservation down in Arizona. And he was himself a Native American. And he just sat there after we brought our food back to the table, going through this buffet. And he just sat there for a minute, just stunned. And he just said, could heaven be any better than this? And it was just absolutely amazing. And I remember being in the Holy Land, being so surprised by the geography and how kind of plush a lot of it was. I always thought it was maybe a little more desertous, and certainly there are desertous regions there, but just the variety of types of geography and everything else. Olive trees all over the place. Couldn't get over it, just olive trees everywhere in the Holy Land. And the farming that was going on, and the grazing of sheep. There were a number of times we would be out looking at a park and just flocks of sheep would go by with a shepherd. They claim that there are probably more spices that are grown in Israel, which is a tiny country. I mean, it's about the size of from Mankato to La Crosse and then down to Iowa border, if you could kind of make that area. It's a small country. But there are probably more spices that come to us from there than go from us to them. And it's just an amazing land. The rabbis who wrote before the time of Jesus about their country and their land claimed that they had 500 names for different plants, and many of which were very edible. And it's not surprising that we often see in the Bible a description of the Holy Land as the land flowing with milk and honey. The land flowing with milk and honey. So God is telling them here, the children of Israel, as they're on their way to this Holy Land, that other nations are going to recognize that these children of Israel are God's special people. Listen to what he says. All peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. God had selected them as a people, as a nation, to bring the Savior of the world into human history. And so the children of Abraham, it was out of their nation that the wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, would come through them as a people in order to ultimately go to the cross to pay for our sins, to live out the perfect life that we needed, the record we needed to be led into heaven someday. And so those who were bearing this Christ child in their midst, through their ancestry, if you will, those who were bringing this Christ into the world, God has a very special, special, unique relationship with them. And those who carry the name of Christ on their lips as they confess him, even now after Christ, God continues to give us wonderful blessings and promises as well. Now, there were times when God would choose, when he decided, he's certainly capable of working through supernatural means. We think about the story of the manna that came down from heaven and that the children of Israel could go out and collect on the ground. I always wonder, what did that taste like? What was it like? And all the nutrients that must have been in it, that's all they needed on their great exodus. And so God can certainly provide through supernatural means. We think of the story of the oil and the cruse with at the time of Elisha, the cruse of oil where the widow never had the oil run out. Jesus feeding thousands of people with just a little bit of bread and fish. So God can certainly, at any time that he wants, employ supernatural means in order to take care of people's earthly means. But God primarily chooses to work through the principles of nature that he has established. And that's the way that he typically, for us, provides for his people. Now, why does God put a special spotlight and focus on this for the children of Israel, and it's for our learning as well? Well, the reason is it's very easy for us to forget, as we live and go about our day-to-day lives, it's very easy for us to forget that all of this ultimately comes from God's hand, that he is the ultimate source of all the blessings that we enjoy. And I know here in the United States, if you're anything like me, I can start to feel entitled to what I have. I can start to expect that I should have wealth. I should have money. I should have great food. When I go to the cafeteria, I should be able to get really good food all the time from all over the world. How many people get to live like that? Well, we do. We can be selective and picky about what we eat. And I know how my heart can be, and that is, it can start to expect that I should just get to have, I should expect in my life that I should have more wealth than my parents did. My life should be better than my parents was. It certainly is better than my grandparents was and great-grandparents. There's a temptation in all of us to maybe not only not appreciate the blessings that we have, but to assume that we deserve them, to assume that we should get them. And this is what God is addressing with his people, to be careful of this. I know years ago I took some students over to Ukraine to do some teaching of vacation Bible school over there. We had about 50 college and high school students that went along. And on the way back, I interviewed a number of them, and I said, what was some of the things that you really learned? Now, Ukraine is, right now, it's obviously a war-torn country. This was back when things were good, and everything was fine over there. But Ukraine's certainly not a third-world country. But I asked them as they came back on the flight and things, so what were things that you learned about being over there? And every one of them made some comment about, I just didn't realize how blessed we are in our country. It makes me appreciative of all the blessings that we get to enjoy in our homeland. You know, if we sometimes think about the manna, the miraculous way that God fed people, and we forget that if you really think about it, the food that we get to eat every day is really no less miraculous. It ultimately goes back to the command of God to all the plants that he started in the Garden of Eden and in the creation of the world. The power of his word that made all of that happen is what has continued to sustain plant life all the way down to the food that I will eat today. The very clothing that we wear is generated by either plant or animal from things that is ultimately from God's hand and the power of his creation. Really, everything we enjoy today is no less miraculous than the people that sat and ate in the feeding of the 5,000. And it's easy for me, you know, to not make that connection always back to what a gracious and supplying God in heaven that we truly have. And it's true not only just with the food that we eat. It's easy to focus on that, especially at Thanksgiving time, right? But to think of all of the other advancements that we have enjoyed, just that have happened in my lifetime, is absolutely amazing. There's a house about three blocks from campus that I go past every once in a while, and it's where I lived as a little child. And I still remember when I see the garage that I had to get out every time our family went in and out of the garage. One of us brothers had to get out and fold open the door with our hands and let the car go in and fold it shut. Simple little thing. I hated it. I hated it in the winter when we'd have to do that. Now I push a button, and this all happens for me. You know, we just take that for granted. Think of all the advancements just in my lifetime that have taken place technologically and through electronics and so many things in the field of medicine. The ways that God has continued to up the ante of blessing us, and yet we still can have this sense that I deserve this, and very easily neglect to thank Him and to forget about where this ultimately all has come from. Now, you and I are not Israelites before the time of Christ, but God is addressing the people here as His sanctified believers. Look at our text again. He says, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself." Now, notice something. The establishing of being a holy person before God is something God does. It's not something they did. Not a single one of us in this room, certainly not myself, could ever claim holiness before God because we're such good people. My lack of gratitude alone is enough to show how unholy I am. But God, through the faith given us in Christ Jesus our Savior, when we come to understand that He went to the cross to pay for all of our sins, and that God, through Him, promises us heaven, when He makes us part of His church of believers, that is where holiness is established by God. God is the one who does this establishing of your holiness. Thanks be to God. And this is the distinguishing factor as to why Christians, why believers in this world, can have a different reason for being thankful to God. Different from all the other people in the world. God would have you and me view all of the blessings we get to enjoy in life, whether it's food or technology or medicine or whatever it is, the time to have recreation and all of that. God would have us view all of our earthly blessings through the cross of our Savior, through His grace, through His mercy, through the fact that He has paid for your entrance into heaven by the work of His Son. You know, even an atheist and a raccoon have reasons to be grateful to God. The believer has those same reasons, but ours are super magnified because of God's wonderful grace and kindness to us, forgiving us all of our sins, giving us the holy, perfect record we need to get into heaven, and the promise of everlasting life in heaven. So look at all the blessings you have in your life this Thanksgiving weekend through the lens of the cross, through the lens of God's tremendous grace for you. There's a great writer years ago named Johann Gerhard, and he has a devotion I like to go back and read frequently. And what he does is he takes all the things you could possibly like in this life, and he says, if you like good food, just imagine what the food's going to be like in heaven. If you like good clothes, imagine what the clothing is going to be like in heaven. If you like good music, and he just goes through this whole list of all the things we enjoy in this life, and it's such a wonderful way to get us to realize that anything we have in this life that's a gift from God is just a tiny little glimpse of the amazing blessings He's prepared for us through the work of His Son. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen.